Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, the 9th of September. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, wildlife boss says relief as a controversial site is removed from a local plan. Residents join forces to fight management companies and how we can avoid putting pressure on the NHS in Kent this winter. But first, taking a look at our top story. Drivers say they're willing to go to court after being fined for parking at country parks in Kent. The company that manages the site's Euro car parks accept people have paid for a ticket, but registration numbers haven't been entered correctly into machines. Motorists are blaming that on the tech not working properly. One of them is Julie Middop from Hadlow. She's been chatting to reporter Ellie Hodgson, who started by asking when she'd visited the car park.
April the 14th of this year. The keying was terrible. There were four people in front of me who just couldn't do it. They tried to use their mobile phones, but there's no phone signal. The numbers on each key is faded and worn. So I put in what I thought was my full registration number and I left out one digit, got a £70 fine on the 1st of May, which I appealed on the 6th of May, to no advantage at all.
What was your reaction when you had the parking fine in the post, and how much did you pay on the day to park?
£2.50. Which is in one of their letters. There's proof that I paid it because they've written it down for me, helpfully. And they have my correct registration number. I felt so angry, because I had done nothing wrong except leave out one digit. That's all.
What would you like to be the response from Euro Car Parks or the council?
I would like this all gone. I don't want to pay any. The fine has gone up to £140 now. I'm not paying it. These aren't fines anyway. They're invoices, apparently. I would like it all done and dusted. I don't want to pay the fine. I would like to take them to the small claims court, actually. I'd quite like to do that. But I don't know.
And what sort of impact has this sort of stress of the situation had on you?
Awful. As my friend said, you know, he heard me screaming one night in the sitting room and I just had to come out here, and I cried and cried and cried, because I am quite a tough person, but they keep on and on and on until you give in, which I'm not going to. I haven't been sleeping, and it's been horrendous.
And in terms of sort of the major keying error that they're accusing you of, do you believe that it was an error on your part, or that the machine was sort of responsible?
The machine was responsible, definitely, because they're so old and they're not kept in good order.
The country parks include Lullingstone, Trossley and Shaun Woods, which are all run by the County Council. They've sent us this statement.
If a customer inputs the correct registration number at the machine, it will correspond with the number plate captured on the ANPR, meaning a penalty charge notice, or PCN, will not be issued. We have had no ongoing faults with any keypads on the machines at our country park car parks, which are checked every morning and evening. We want everyone to be able to enjoy the county's much-loved country parks. After 23:59 on the day of the error, a PCN will automatically be generated if a match cannot be made by the camera system. This may result in a PCN being issued. A successful appeal for a miss key after a PCN has been issued may lead to the charge being reduced to an administration fee. Every complaint we receive is thoroughly investigated, and any faults that are identified with the pay and display machines are quickly remedied. We can check details down to each transaction, which would indicate if there is any issue with a machine on a given day, as the transactions either side of a miskey would be wrong, or there would be a group of miskeys together.
They also advise that if a customer makes a mistake while keying in their details, they should speak to a KCC Country Parks officer if one is available, and they'll be able to help. We've contacted Euro Car Parks for a comment.
Kent Online News.
Some other top stories today. And a Ramsgate woman who helped set up a robbery where a man was stabbed has avoided prison. Kelly Giles arranged to meet the victim in Boundary Park last May for a drug deal. An accomplice then carried out an attack and demanded money. The 39-year-old, who used to live in Hurst Grove, has been given a 2-year suspended sentence and ordered to do rehab. A misconduct panel's decided no further action will be taken against a Canterbury teacher who was found guilty of drink driving. They were told how 56-year-old Justin Scarlett was trying to escape following an attack at the time of the offence. The former head of chemistry at St Anselm's was arrested in Broadstairs in 2021 and given a 20-month driving ban. A Chatham drug dealer has been jailed after police found cocaine and cannabis at his home. Analysis of Alan Maxwell's phone also found messages arranging deals. The 32-year-old, who used to live in Auden Street, has been locked up for 2 years and 5 months. Now, wildlife bosses have welcomed the decision to remove a controversial housing development near Canterbury from the City Council's local plan. The document sets out where new properties could be built and had previously highlighted countryside owned by the University of Kent. It's now hoped the site between Blean, Tyler Hill and Rough Common can be turned into something known as Blean Biopark. Holly Dupree from Kent Wildlife Trust says it's important development and nature restoration are worked on together. She's been speaking to Nicola.
We're really pleased to see this change. It's something that we've been working really closely with the community group on, and it's great to see that the council have listened to what we've been saying about this piece of land. Obviously we need to take a look in detail at the rest of the plans and go through that consultation process. But on the face of it, yes, we're extremely pleased, particularly around this decision.
There have been an awful lot of protests about the land, and a lot has been said about why it's so important. Just remind us why you were so concerned about it being potentially used for development.
Yeah, I mean, from an environmental perspective, it's a really key piece of land that sits around ancient woodland that's part of this really important Blean woodland complex. It's the largest area of contiguous woodland in the southeast, and we're working really closely to restore that and reconnect it. So from an environmental perspective, it's very strategically important, and there's huge opportunity to use that site for nature and to manage it for nature. In terms of the community, obviously it didn't feel very, the proposals didn't feel very much of the place, and that sense of community and heritage and that importance of that area of land. So the research that we've been talking about today that has just been released showed people's real connection to the landscape, to the place. And I think this is something to take from this, that you need to bring people along the journey in the development process, and it needs to reflect the needs of local people, the environment, as well as growth and other housing needs that they're trying to address.
Yeah, council always argue that people do need to live somewhere. We do need housing. Would your argument be that there were other more suitable locations that were available?
Yeah, exactly. We're not against building. We recognise that there's a need for housing, but it's about having the right developments in the right place that meet various needs of community, of the environment and of growth and housing. So yes, absolutely. I think the fact that there is a number of developments proposed around the Blean means that there is this added pressure. So it's basically multiple pressure points around the landscape that together cumulatively would have a huge impact, and that we're talking thousands of houses in these various developments. So I think it's not about almost the one site alone, it's when you look at it on the whole that you really see that pressure. And I think this is where we need to be looking at these things strategically, and thinking about investing in nature strategically as well, to so unlock the services and the benefits that can provide, so that we can deliver that development and nature protection and restoration hand in hand.
Kent Online News.
A taxi driver has been arrested on suspicion of drug driving following a police operation in Folkestone. The cab was followed after the driver was spotted not wearing a seatbelt. A man in his 30s is due in court later this month. The RSPCA is investigating after two guinea pigs were found abandoned in a nature reserve in Strood. They were found in a pet carrier on Reed Common last Thursday and taken to a vet for urgent care. Sadly, one had to be put down. The other is being looked after until its owner is found or it can be rehomed. Figures have revealed nearly 4 million pounds worth of social care debt in Kent has been written off in the past 5 years. Bosses at KCC say the reasons behind the write-offs were varied and the total represents less than 1% of the total charges raised over the same period. It's at a time when the council's social care budget is under intense pressure due to slashed budgets, soaring costs and increased demand. There are calls for the money raised from the tolls of the new Lower Thames Crossing to be used to bring back the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry service. The river link between Kent and Essex was scrapped last year after KCC and Thurrock Council cut their funding. The MPs for Gravesham and Thurrock have written to the Transport Secretary urging ministers for more investment. A group of people living on new build estates in North Kent have got together to help others take on management companies. The firms are tasked with maintaining sites, but residents have claimed their bills have gone up with no work being done. Sean Young helped set up the Sittingbourne and Sheppey Residents Association when he noticed a hike in fees.
We've got a large amount of money that we was told we were owed. We were sent a letter that was £80,000. We've then found out that we are 50 grand in deficit. We've had issues of contractors not being paid. We've had one company hadn't been paid for up to nearly 2 years. We've had, again, like contractors that have charged £750 for like emptying out of bin stores when they could have charged the council. Generally speaking, we've had it, mainly the money has been too much, and our service charge, someone like myself, I was paying £1,800 and we was probably looking at an increase of 40 grand across the estate, probably looking at £2,400. So these are the issues we face.
How does that make you feel when you see the amount of money they've basically taken from you, and when you see the work they haven't done, what has retreated contractors? How does it make you feel that you've had to take the fight to them?
Angry, to put it lightly. Basically, the one thing I was thinking was my family, my future. Wasn't in a rough position, but I was looking at the future thinking, if this goes up, I'm not going to be able to sell. I'm not going to be in a position to pay the service charge. And potentially, I might have to, you know, look at alternative means of living somewhere. We wasn't very happy. But it gave me the determination to fight, to become a director. And really, from here on, it's worked wonders, and we've achieved what we wanted through hiring a new managing agent.
Amber Needham is from Greenhithe near Dartford. She's been helping the Sittingbourne and Sheppey group after she successfully helped remove First Port as the managers of her estate.
I don't have an exact number, but I'd say probably up at nearly 100 people have reached out with problems that they've been having with various managing agents, all in different situations, some people looking to do rights manage, some people looking to utilise existing RMCs. Yeah, even people up north, so not just in the Kent-based area. I think the article had pretty good traction, and it's spread quite far across the country.
And obviously you're here tonight because of your experience dealing with, say, management companies. Do you think the people here tonight found your advice helpful? What was your big takeaway from this evening?
Yeah, I hope they found my advice helpful. I think it'll be more helpful if I can speak to people individually and see what their situations are, because even in just one local area and across one estate, you can still have sort of a mixed bag of people that need to do a right to manage or people that need to utilise an RMC. I hope they found the advice helpful.
I know you've been speaking to some of the councillors up in Dartford as well. Can you break down a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I met with Jim Dixon, the Dartford MP, a few days ago. We sort of had a chat about the issues that people are facing, because I've been sort of helping give free advice to other estates in my area nearby, and he's had a lot of people reach out to him asking for help with speaking to freeholders and dealing with managing agents. So yeah, we just had a chat really about the ongoing issues that people are facing and what people can potentially do to get out of the situation, and if referrals can be made over to me to give people advice.
Sean and Amber were both chatting to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service there. You can watch his report in full by clicking in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
The company that runs the trains in Kent has joined forces with a leading charity to support low-income families in Dartford and Gravesend. Southeastern will be working with Refocus to offer on-the-job training, mentoring and holiday clubs for young people. It's hoped it'll give them skills and confidence so they don't get involved in antisocial behaviour and crime. There's more reaction today to the news. Visit Kent has ceased trading and is set to go into liquidation. The tourism company was behind the popular Kent Big Weekend, which saw thousands of tickets to large attractions in the county given away for free. The county councillor in charge of economic development and coastal regeneration has said the visitor economy is likely to suffer, impacting hundreds of local businesses. Now, we're being urged to book in for COVID and flu jabs in a bid to prevent putting too much pressure on the NHS in Kent this winter. Appointments have been made available online as children head back to class this week and autumn gets underway. People in vulnerable groups include pregnant women and those with underlying health conditions. I've been speaking to Dr. Ash Peshin, who is the Deputy Chief Medical Officer for NHS Kent and Medway.
As we're coming into the winter, these are the months when we have more viruses, or we tend to stay more indoors, and we easily can get infections and we can spread them around, unfortunately. And so it's very important during this period that we get our vaccinations. We are protected from some nasty flus as well as the risk of having COVID. So it's good to get the vaccinations done as soon as they start after the 1st of October.
And you mentioned there that it's about protecting ourselves. Obviously, we don't want to get sick, but it's protecting the people around us as well.
Yes. Our loved ones and anyone else who could and who might not be very well. For example, if they're immunocompromised or anything like that. So it's always good to make sure that not only you, but your colleagues and your friends and family are protected.
Now, we hear every year that there are some groups that are more at risk, potentially more vulnerable to the effects of flu and of COVID. Who should be a bit more mindful about getting their vaccinations?
Yeah, it's very important that anybody above the age of 65 or a care home residence, or if it's a pregnant woman, somebody who's has got chronic lung conditions, for example, they've got asthma, or they've got emphysema, or they've got chronic kidney diseases, or they've got any heart problems. Patients in this cohort should always be mindful that it's better that they are protected, and because they reduce the risk of getting the infection and everything else getting worse then.
And now I'm not expecting you to have any specific statistics on this or anything like that. But in terms of uptake of vaccinations, are we seeing that generally more people are opting to have their vaccinations, or do you feel that it's something that people are letting slide these days?
It's good that a lot of patients still are, a lot of residents of Kent and Medway still having who need to have the vaccinations are still getting it. For example, for the flu vaccinations for patients above the age of 65, 73.4% of them had their vaccinations. So it's really we're really keen for our residents to try and get it up to nearly 100% if they could. That because then it will make sure everybody is protected that way. And even though all the other age groups are not that high as over 65s, I would like to really encourage them to try and get there. Maybe there might be good to have a competition with our patients who are above the age of 65.
Plans to turn a row of run-down garages in Canterbury into social housing have been approved. The unused buildings on Warwick Road will be torn down to make way for a block of 11 new affordable homes. Council say the designs will be inspired by the surrounding hills of the city. The owner of a 6-bed HMO in Maidstone has launched a bid to increase it to 10 beds. The plans include building a new single-storey extension at the property in Hale Place, plus bin and bike storage. It's received 6 letters of objection, with some residents concerned about parking. And finally, head to Kent Online to see pictures of 60 rare white storks that have been spotted in a field near Canterbury. Around 60 birds were resting near to Patrick's Bourne Road. They are native to the British Isles but have become less common due to a combination of habitat loss and overhunting.
Kent Online Sport.
Taking a quick look at rugby, and former Aylesford Bulls player Jess Breach will win her 50th cap for England in the Women's World Cup this weekend. She's named in the side for the Red Roses game against Australia in Brisbane. Brighton. The hosts will be hoping to finish their group with 3 wins from 3. That's all from us today. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.